Well, good afternoon and welcome to ArtSpeak Radio. Hey, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us a part of your day, ArtSpeak Radio. I wish you could be here with us in studio. We don't have a vacant chair left. We have a lot of people here, and we love it that way because that means that there's so much happening in Kansas City, and we want to share that with you. Today we have Rochelle Wisoff-Fields, Jessica Connolly, Christine Barrett-Jones, Debbie Barrett-Jones, Regina Del Carmen. We have Angie Jennings and Ron Anderson all here in the studio to talk to you about things that are going on today. But first, let me introduce you to Jessica Connolly. She was raised on 80s action films, Gem and the Holograms, X-Men, and older brother-mandated Star Wars. Now, decades later, she started writing fantasy novels, flash fiction, and award-winning essays. In 2012, she became the managing editor of Kansas City Voices, which is an arts and literary magazine. And, I can tell you that this Saturday, Jessica is going to take the stage for a reading from her debut fantasy novel, The Color Eater. And then there will be a question and answer with the author that Saturday night, August 12th, at the Uptown Arts Bar, 3611 Broadway. Welcome, my friend Jessica.
Thanks for having me, Maria.
You bet. Really exciting stuff happening for you, right?
It is, and it's really weird to be promoting my own stuff instead of other people's stuff.
Yeah, because, you have been with the Kansas City Voices, the arts and literary magazine, for a number of years, and it rightly so. It's ready for your star to shine.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm curious how it'll turn out on Saturday, for sure.
Well, and let's talk about that event, because, all the folks that attend will receive a download of your essay collection, right?
Correct. My Great Escape was an essay collection that I put out after I left my corporate job and started writing full-time. And really, I did it because I wanted to learn the backside of Amazon and self-publishing and see how that worked so that when I had another book out, I understood it before it got crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to try and be prepared. And that's what this event is, me preparing my agent to see how I am in front of a crowd. Uh-huh. And then she's going to start shopping the Color Eaters this fall to publishers. So if she has something that she can take to those meetings that says, this is who we're selling, uh-huh, along with the book, I thought it'd be helpful.
Well, that'd be exciting. The Color Eater. Give us a little synopsis about the work.
It's about a girl.
If you can.
Well, it's definitely not your normal book. It's fantasy. Uh-huh. We're going to market it as young adult. So it's about a girl who has a superpower that she's been hunted for, and she doesn't really understand it. And her family, she's been separated from her family, so she decides to go find her family. And during that adventure, she learns about her powers. She learns about what family means and coming into yourself when you can't fully embrace who you are, as well as infiltrating a gigantic research prison and some stuff blowing up, things like that.
Wow, I love that. So do you think that some of the, what you grew up with, the 80s action films and all that, do you think that helped you inform your story?
I can't undo it. It's in me, and there's no way to get out of it. And yeah. I hate how much my older brother has influenced it, because I don't ever want to give him credit.
Damn you,
because,
older brother.
Right? He's always getting credit for everything. But, I grew up, and what I loved about superheroes when I was little, so I grew up in the 80s, mm-hmm, is there were so few female people we could look up to. But if you went to X-Men, there was like a catalog, and you could go through, and there was like Diamondback and Rogue, and there was all these girls, and I was just like, I can be somebody important in this world. Whereas in G.I. Joe, you could be Lady J or Scarlet, but maybe that's why my hair is red. I don't know. I had never thought about that. But it was just really nice to have a place where females were strong, and I think that's why I gravitate towards that. Like, if you even think of Alien, which I was, Ripley from the Aliens movies. I mean, she was one of the strongest female role models, which I know now, like, an 8-year-old should not be watching that, but
What's so wrong?
You can't get rid of it once it's inside you, I think.
Yeah. And again, I want to say that Jessica Connolly takes to the stage for a reading from her debut fantasy novel, The Color Eater, this Saturday, August 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Uptown Arts Bar, 3611 Broadway. And so will you be reading from the book, just little excerpts and just sort of get teasers from your novel?
Pretty much. Yeah. It's really scary to me because normally when I do readings, I read my short stuff. So it's something mm-hmm. that has a complete beginning, middle, and end. And I know the audience is walking away satisfied. So what I decided to do was 30 minutes of reading of excerpts from the book. And I'm going to start at the beginning and then kind of go to the end of the beginning. And I decided to focus on one storyline. Obviously, in a novel, there's multiple threads I could have followed. But I decided to stick more with one storyline so people have some sort of sense of continuity. And hopefully they get a good idea for who the main character is. Her name's Olena. And then also about what she's been struggling against and coming to her own with.
Do you think that the men outweigh the number of women who write fantasy and science fiction and all that in the literary realm?
I think the men get more attention, but there's a lot of really great female fantasy authors. V.E. Schwab is doing phenomenal work. Shauna McGuire, she does great stuff, but again, they're writing under initials or they're writing under sort of ambiguous names where they don't come out like Jessica's a super girly name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Sean and people might be like, I don't know what to do with that. So I think definitely men are better known in the industry. But I think females like comic book writers, there's so many.
They're
women
kind
in the
of elbowing their way. You know,
well,
to front
they're
stage.
Taking credit for what they've been doing for a long time, which I think is awesome.
I love that. Now, as I mentioned, the event, all the attendees will receive a download of your essay collection, My Great Escape. And then let's talk about some raffle tickets that will be available, because this sort of proceeds some pretty good things.
I've never been on a writer's retreat before, and so everything would help me go to my first writer's retreat, which is in October in Pennsylvania. You might remember Highlights magazines from kids' doctor's offices.
Yes, I love finding the hidden pictures.
So they have a really beautiful retreat space out in Pennsylvania, and there's a group of 20 women who write in the same genre I do, and so it'll give me a chance to connect with colleagues. But the prizes, I was so surprised. I decided I was going to raffle off a character's name in my book, and then a free critique, and a couple things that were writer-specific. But then I sent it out to my readers on my newsletter, and I just got flooded with emails, can I donate?
Oh, wow.
So somebody donated a hypnotherapy session. I've got a bunch of honey for people. There's some glamour bags, which are like relaxation bath bomb gift bags. Geeky Cookie donated custom cookies, which like they're works of art. It's positively spectacular. Free facials, free haircuts. I mean, people just came out of the woodwork supporting me, and I was so grateful because it was so unexpected.
Yeah, artist retreats, writers retreats are a lot of fun. I've been to a few. And so we hope you wish you success on that and getting to where you need to be. This will help support all the travel costs for the upcoming writer's retreat. Do you have any social media, Facebook or any Instagram that you want to share with us?
I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and then my website has a newsletter that goes out every other Tuesday. So on Facebook, it's just Jessica Connolly, but I spell my last name kind of weird. It's Connolly. And then my Twitter handle is JA Connolly, and then my website's just my name, jessicaconnolly.com.
Jessica, do you want to read a little something for us?
Sure.
And kind of get our listeners.
I was trying to decide because I promised I wouldn't read anything from The Color Eater until the event.
Oh, come on.
I know. I don't even have it with me, but I decided a lot of your listeners seem to be artists and writers and musicians, and through everything I've learned, we have a lot of similarities in that we feel like we're failing all the time. And so I wrote a piece.
I'm failing right now.
You're failing excellently, and I wouldn't call it failure.
Bless your heart.
So I wrote a piece called 100 Rejections, Let's Celebrate. And I thought your audience might resonate with that.
Absolutely.
When it feels like you're failing, you're not, I promise. So I won an award for having my writing rejected 100 times. And that's super messed up when you think about it. We're celebrating failure after failure after failure. But people who are smarter than me, who've been doing this job longer than I've been alive, who have received many more than 100 rejections, are the people who bequeathed it to me. It's probably the most important award I've ever won. And after earning my magic letter opener trophy, I finally understand what they already know. At the beginning, there's some excitement to sending out stories. It's the hope of publication, which really means validation, and the newness of it all that keeps you researching markets and writing new stuff. Now, it's easy to be optimistic when you have no idea what lies ahead. And a month or two in, every email from a lit journal starts with, "Thank you, but," followed by any number of reasons you are not good enough. Any excitement you once felt dies, and so you take a break. For some, it's a weekend. For me, it was 2 years. Then you read a book, and that book is total crap. Complete rubbish. A fourth grader could have written something better. Yet somehow this person managed to get published. And you stop, and you look at the stories you've written, and you know down to the marrow inside your bones that you write better than that craptastic author. So you start submitting again. And it's a little easier this time because now you have writer friends who you can commiserate with. You have subscriptions to databases, so the research of where to submit is more efficient this time around. And there's a whole file folder on your desktop of completed stories to choose from. But then the rejections begin again. And every time you see an email, you think, maybe this is the one that says yes. And you get your hopes up and you open it to find you are not good enough again. But now, the length of time to emotionally recover isn't months, it's days. And with every rejection you open, the recovery time decreases until you're down to minutes. Maybe 50 rejections in, you write a story and you think, damn, that's good. And it's possible while you were writing it, you started crying, and that's okay, because those are the parts where other people will cry as well. And you know this story is the one, and you send it out for approval. The emails come back, and this time the rejection is a knife to your heart, and you go back to days on the recovery spectrum. Here's the thing. You know this story is good. 10 more rejections, and you start to doubt yourself. But is it good? So you stop submitting again. You pause and evaluate. Why are you even doing this in the first place? A few months more, and that story is still in your head, the one you know is good. And you pull it out. You look at the rejections, and you realize these rejections were different. They were longer, and they said, like the premise, but the dialogue was stilted. And you think, what the hell does stilted mean? So you look it up and reread your story. Oh, that's what stilted means. And maybe some of the advice in these rejections isn't all bad. You rewrite your story. It's better this time because you've learned from every single story you've written up until now. You've been practicing your craft, whether you thought about it or not. And this time, when you send the story out, you have no doubts. This story is good. Someone will pay you for it. It will go in a book and people will read it. And you send it and you wait and you wait and you wait. And you wonder if your story has been forgotten. And then 5 months later, there's an email. I love what I've read. Can you send me more? You send more pages, and you wait, and you hope, and you wait, and you hope, and you wait. You submit to more places, and you wait. The rejections start again, and they still hurt, but less than before, because you still have hope. You know your pages are out there. One person saw your promise, so you hope, and you wait. And then you hear back. It's from the person who wanted more pages, and you don't want to open the email, because if you do and they say no, you will die. And they say, I think you're a strong writer, but I wasn't quite sure where this would fit on a publisher's list. So you stop and you cry. Because what does that even mean? A different email comes asking for more pages, and the hoping and waiting begins again. You play this game for months, maybe even years, and somewhere in there, a few other stories you forgot you submitted get a yes in email response. And then that little bit of doubt dies, just like your excitement did. The rejections continue coming, but now it's different. Now you are different. Somewhere around 80 rejections, I started to see the absurdity of my chosen industry. Now, instead of getting sick when I open my daily rejection, I may get a twinge of yuck or feel nothing at all. And once a month, there may be a rejection that sends me reeling back to the land of self-doubt. But by the next morning, I'm firmly back to my newly won permanent reality. The place where I know my story is good enough, and if I keep sending it out, the right person's going to see it. The whole process of rejection may be ridiculous, but my story is not. I've gotten better and better and better, and I don't doubt myself anymore. The rejections were necessary, because they gave me the strength to stand up for my art. And now I know. The award isn't for getting rejected. It's for learning I'm good enough to keep going.
I like that. Raise your hand if you can
I think that's what my friends feel in the music that way. Industry, they're like the way. Exact same thing, but exactly. Everybody says it's the same once you're creative.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Jessica Connolly, and much success to you on your reading debut
at Uptown
this Saturday. So thanks so much. For more information, jessicaconnolly.com is the website, and also there's a Facebook event page, right?
Yep.
Very good. Okay, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. Welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez. Boy, thank you so much for tuning in on this Wednesday afternoon. Next up, we have the beautiful singer, songwriter, musician, Regina Del Carmen, who's going to perform live for us here in the KKFI studio. And I want to say she was announced. Just had this beautiful, outstanding performance at our event at the Folly Theater. Now I've forgotten what it's called. It was...
Rhodes.
yes. And you performed with many other musicians on stage, including Enrique Chi of Making Movies, and it was collaborations at the Folly, and it was just a spectacular night, and people were on their feet because your voice is so beautiful. So welcome, my friend, Regina Del Carmen.
Hi.
Hello, honey. You know, you are such a young person, just full of talent. Tell me how you sort of got started playing and performing.
So basically, I feel like I've been singing for like my whole life.
Yeah.
I know I'm only 17, but like my whole life. But, yeah, I started playing guitar about three years ago, and I got introduced to the guitar. From Musica Camp that Making Movies had created through Maddie Rhodes. And they were like, hey, you know, you should play guitar. And I was like, cool. So you know, I used their guitars because at the time I didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up getting really good at it. Well, to my extent,
well,
I was good at it.
Sure,
but,
sure.
Yeah, and that's how I got started. And then, you know, I wrote my music, my own music, and I had... told Enrique for Making Movies that I had written a song, and he was like, oh, okay, you know, he expected it to be like a typical 13-year-old song, but he was like, this is really good, and it was Keep Your Head Up, and I'm sure you've heard it, I think.
You know, and I've heard a lot of your music, and I can tell our listeners that some of the work that you've produced is on SoundCloud?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Regina Del Carmen on SoundCloud.
Well, I want to get to your voice, so if you would sing us something live, yeah, that'd be great.
So the song I'm going to sing is called Disappear, and I dedicated it to my grandparents who were in the coup in Chile in 1974, and I had written about it for a school project, and it became bigger than I expected it to be, so this is for my grandparents. So, staying in the wrong time, can I just stop and rewind? Family across the ocean, praying it will stay in motion. My faith is anywhere but here, but God, please don't disappear. No more talk, all I hear is whispers. No more family, all I got is pictures. Living alone is a worse form of torture. Being harassed, tortured across the border. It's the confidence I lack, but it's hard to dance with the devil on your back. Hard to stay clean when it's dirt you attract. Hard to stay sane when you don't know how to act. Hard to speak the language when you don't understand. And hard to say you're okay when you need a helping hand. Everyone knows that I'm trying my best, but right now I still can't rest. Living with a no soul, staying in the wrong time. Can I just stop and rewind? Family across across the ocean, praying it will stay in motion. My faith is anywhere but here, but God, please don't disappear. Don't disappear. Need a way to keep time on my mind, 'cause these streets are getting colder each night. Singing hush little baby don't you cry, promise I'll make it out alive. And it will be alright, and I will search for you tonight. I'll be knocking at my door like I got something for them. And I guess I wanna just breathe, and I guess I'm just waiting to exhale. All my dreams to the dirt man, oh well. Pick them off, brush them off, another story to tell. Living with a no soul, staying in the wrong time. Can I just stop and rewind? Family across the ocean, praying it will stay in motion. My faith is anywhere but here, but God, please don't disappear.
Beautiful. Wow. Your voice is it's mesmerizing. You know, I want to ask you about your songwriting. What inspires, what informs your songwriting?
I think just everyday struggle. Definitely. People who have known pain and still decide to push through. Mm-hmm. And just my family as well, and you know, personal struggle,
yeah,
other people's yeah. struggle, just what the world is going through.
Yeah,
empathy.
You know, I always like to know what sort of you know brings about that creative spark in people. You have some, you know this very well, you have some great mentors, Enrique and Diego Chi of Making Movies, that have this music program. As a start to your career as a musician, where do you see yourself maybe in 5 years? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a loaded question. Ooh. Thanks, Maria.
5 years, yeah. Definitely wiser.
Yes. Yes.
And just in 5 years, you know, I hope to have progressed in my music writing and have a good career, you know.
Maybe go on tour in other cities.
Tour,
yeah, I could see that.
A Grammy, yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, no, that could happen. That could happen. You know, would you like to perform another song for us? Because, you know, I just want people to get a really good sample of your talent.
Sure. I'm going to move this back a little. Okay, that's good. So this one I wrote probably about 3 years ago or four. Soul? It's called Soul. To be forgiven, your will must be done, but it doesn't hurt to pray. Please keep in mind, Lord, I try hard every day. I'm not in search of fame in all of its glories. I'm simply tired of tasting dirt and sick of seeing the glory. My veins have been pierced, but my mind is still intact. Forgive what you say, 'cause it's all about how you act. I'm resting on the clouds, but my roots are plenty deep. Blue soul and rock and roll is all I know how to speak. Put me on a stage and Who cares about fame? I'm alive, my way to heaven with my guitar on fire. I'll see through the darkness and walk right past the liars. Words can be spoken, but never heard. 'Cause all your actions, baby, speak louder than words. They kicked me to the curb, but I found my way back in. I'm praying for you, darling, 'cause all you do is sin. I'm not slowing down, I'm going for the win. And if you take it all away, I'll do it all again. 'Cause I'm resting on the clouds, but my roots are plenty deep. Blue soul and rock and roll is all I know how to speak. Put me on a stage and I'll blow.
Beautiful, beautiful. We love your voice. We love that you're performing live here at the KKFI studio. And you know what? Come back anytime.
Thank you.
And I love that she has her entourage with her, her father and her grandfather. I know your mother's listening, right?
Yes. Hi, Mom.
We love you, Regina Del Carmen. And we'll be looking out for you next, appearing anywhere in town here in Kansas City. You never know where you'll be from time to time, because you just take those opportunities, right?
Yes, yes.
Terrific. We love you, Regina Del Carmen.
Thank you.
You know, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after these messages. Yes, you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and this is Maria Vasquez-Boy talking to you every Wednesday, noon to 1 on KKFI. Thank you so much for tuning in or listening to us online at kkfi.org. Next up, we have the lovely, talented Rochelle Wessoff Fields. I hope I pronounced that right. And for over 15 years, she's been a graphic artist, but has discovered her passion for creating word pictures as well as visual ones. So both her original artwork and short stories have been published in her eclectic debut anthology, This, That, and Sometimes the Other by High Hill Press. She also has a coffee table book of original illustrations, which is a companion to the novels entitled A Stone for the Journey, which is due out in 2018. I'm going to say hello, Rochelle.
Hello, Maria. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You know, after I met you at the Jewish poetry event, I believe Martha Gershon put that together, I thought, I've got to have this woman on my show. So I'm so happy that you could be here today with us. Let's talk about some of the work that you've done. And recently you have a new book, please say
Kaddish
for me, From Silt and Ashes, right?
Actually, it's a trilogy of novels. Please Say Kaddish came out in 2015. From Silt and Ashes is the sequel. And As One Must, One Can is the third and final in the trilogy.
Wow, you are a busy woman. I also want to say that she's another facet of Rochelle's writing is 100-word flash fiction for a weekly blog challenge called Friday Fictioneers.
Right, I inherited that about 5 years ago. I started as a participant. And the lady, Madison Woods, who had created it, decided in October of that year that she was going to lay it down. And I was so upset because I'd just become addicted to this challenge. And even my husband said, oh, this is some of your best writing.
Oh, good.
So I begged her to let me take it on, and I did. I didn't know what I was in for because my following has gone from about 40 in 2012 to 3,400.
Wow, we love
and
that.
We have 100 participants worldwide every week.
Uh-huh. Now, did you bring some work to share with us?
I did.
Today? Yeah, please feel free to read some. Yeah.
I have three that I brought that are between 100 and 150 words. These are excerpts from my first novel, Please Say Kaddish, that I have reworked into standalone fiction. So it'll also give you a taste of what these books are about.
Terrific.
The first one is called Cast from Her Father's House. Rocks, frozen grass, and thorns stabbed the soles of her bare feet. There had been no time for shoes, no time to dress. Who would pray for their souls? Who would remember David, the artist, or Mendel, the poet, or Mama, or Papa? She forced her heavy mouth to shape the Hebrew prayer, Kaddish, prayer for the dead and prayer for the bereft. Magnified and sanctified is your great name. Chava Cohen detested its beauty. Her hands held over her ears could not blot out the anguished cries of friends and neighbors, fast becoming memories. In the world which you have created, thorns grabbed at her nightgown, and she fought to ignore the fire in her lungs, according to your will. Run! Brambles ripped into her flesh. Run! The muscles of her legs burned. Stop! Don't stop! Don't stop! Run! Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. And the second one is farther down the book, Moment of Moments. Like an impetuous child, Chava hopped from foot to foot. New York City's imposing skyline appeared to be painted against gray clouds. What kind of life would they have in this unfamiliar place? She wound and unwound the fingers of her shawl around her index finger. Would Americans understand her English? Yessel grabbed her arm. Is she there? Yes, Papa. Like a queen with flowing robes and a crown. She's standing in the harbor holding her torch high in the air as if to welcome us all. His sightless eyes brimmed and he smiled serenely. Yes, I see her. And the third one is Charnel House. Chava gazed out the window studying the snowflakes. Like milk-white dove wings, they glimmered past the street lamp and floated to the sidewalk. Have you ever seen more beautiful snow, Arl? Snow is snow. It's all the same. She grasped Arl's hand and held it to her belly. Their unborn child kicked against his palm with such force, Chava flinched. Brushing her lips against her husband's disfigured cheek, she fought the stone forming in her throat. One by one, faces of those who had perished before her eyes drifted through her memory. No, Arl, nothing will ever be the same.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, we're talking in the green room that you have some upcoming events in September, right?
Actually,
or am I just making things up? Because I like to do that sometimes.
Okay. I'd like to think I do.
Yeah.
I will be signing books at Barnes & Noble this Saturday, August 12th, from 4 to 8 p.m.
Which location?
The Leawood Town Center at 119th.
Very good. And do you have social media, any sort of contact information for our listeners if folks are wanting to find out more about you or your books?
Yes. I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter. And my website is www.RochelleWissoff.com. Or you can find it by Googling Addicted to Purple. And when you get there, you will understand why.
We love that about you. Now, I want to say we'll be keeping an eye out for your coffee table book of original illustrations, A Stone for the Journey, which is due out in 2018. So, yeah, keep us informed, will you?
I will.
Very
thank
good.
You.
Well, thank you so much for making us a part of your day, and we'll keep in touch.
Okay.
Terrific. Thanks so much. We'll be right back after this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, Art Speak Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. Next up, we have Debbie Barrett Jones and Christine Barrett. They have a print and sound installation at with WovenTech. Let me start that again. They have a installation called Sanctuaries, which is a print and sound installation by Christine Barrett with Woven Textiles by Debbie Barrett Jones at the Lidi Volkas Art Center at 2012 Baltimore Avenue, and that opened last Friday, but it runs through the 30th. So we want to welcome Debbie Barrett Jones and Christine Barrett. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Hello, hello. So I understand that this series of work explores concepts of refuge and lands and spaces. Let's talk about the installation itself.
Yes, I mean, it was an interesting process because I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. and Debbie obviously lives in Kansas City, but I went to the Art Institute as well, and so this was sort of the first show back in Kansas City for maybe 15 years, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And we obviously grew up together, and it was an exploration of our divergent paths to find our own voices and mediums that can articulate what, you know, lies in the deep within us. Mm-hmm. And they took different paths and different mediums, but it's kind of funny, almost 20 years later, seeing sort of the way that our work actually intersects, and even though I work primarily in sound and some print, and she works in weaving, I do mostly traditional music and mm-hmm. ritual song from Eastern Europe and the Republic of Georgia and the Caucasus, and she also works in a traditional medium, but making it new again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I found refuge and sanctuary and meaning in this world of music, even though some of it is not my cultural background. Uh-huh. It is the music of my soul. So,
well, and I find it really lovely and fascinating that it's weavings and more technology sound, yeah. and all that. Yeah. How you marry the two, and how do you marry the two? Or, you know, how they integrate.
You know, just it's kind of like I've always felt a push and pull, and uh-huh. please jump in anytime, baby. because we grew up, you know, in a place without, you know, using technology, uh-huh. it was pre-internet, uh-huh. and so it's sort of this like, I feel like technology has just become a tool, mm-hmm. that I've fought against it a lot because, you know, just like, no, I'm, yeah, I, you know.
but I noticed that with Debbie, mm-hmm. your work does involve technology because mm-hmm. your weavings are very, they're from digital processes.
Yeah, I mean, my tool is a loom, and I have two looms at home. One, my bigger pieces are made from, and it's hooked up to a computer. There's a lot more to that than what it sounds like, but I program all my patterns, and but then from there, once it's all threaded and everything, my feet are involved and my hands to thread by thread, beat by beat at this loom. I'm making a piece of fabric. And then my little loom is my sanctuary, my mm-hmm. safe place, mm-hmm. that it was really important to bring that into the space. So upstairs at Lidi Volkas in the back gallery are Christine's prints, landscape prints, and then some of my textiles, and I have a yarn installation there. But then you can hear these beautiful sounds coming from Christine in her sound installation, there's stairs going down to their basement gallery. Mm-hmm. And it was really important when we talked about having a show, I wanted to have one strong piece down there, visual piece. And then Christine went down there and started testing her voice, and the acoustics were just amazing down there. So we knew, first of all, we needed to have a part of our show down there. Mm-hmm. And then with conversation, it led to fine-tuning what exact music that she was going to be playing, along with, all of a sudden, it was like probably 2 months before, mm-hmm. this conversation of bringing my loom into the place.
Wow.
Yeah, and
wow.
because the title of the show is Sanctuaries, and it just meant so much to have in my process, in Christine's process with singing, my process, once I'm sitting at my loom, I mean, the process itself can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
broken
yeah.
threads, winding from a white cone of yarn.
It can be a little, yeah, tedious.
Yeah, all this to begin. Like, uh-huh. And there's tears involved, definitely. but there's something just truly remarkable about sitting at my loom after all that process. And, you know, like I said, the beat of the loom, thread by thread, and that I can watch just color by color of this thread, creating a piece of fabric. And it's helped me, if you hear the sound of the loom, it's very mm-hmm. rhythmic and mm-hmm. meditative. And with my feet involved with the pedals, there's 8 pedals, and I'm able to kind of go in this trance and help me through anxiety, working through just daily life.
Yeah.
There's something safe and secure about it. So it was so wonderful how it all worked out with mm-hmm. Christine's music being a part of it. And we both, in a family of 5 siblings, we shared a room for years down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And something that we had to overcome some fears down there,
sure,
just like,
sure.
you know, imaginative, yeah. sensitive, creative type children. But it's pretty amazing that we were able to have a show down there
mm-hmm.
And bring it all together.
Yeah. And I'm talking to Debbie Barrett-Jones and Christine Barrett, Sanctuaries, a print and sound installation sound installation by Christine Barrett with Woven Textiles by Debbie Barrett-Jones at Leedy Volkus Art Center, 2012 Baltimore Avenue here in Kansas City, Missouri, and it runs through September 30th. Now, I know you've had some live performances there last week, mm-hmm. The Songs of Sanctuary vocal workshop and that. Will you be performing again in this
yes.
space?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the next First Friday on September 1st, we will be down there again. 6 to 9, and it'll be Debbie weaving again, and then I'll be doing a live performance, and then yes, there will be a vocal workshop on Saturday, September 2nd at Leedy Volkus from 2 to 5, and I'll be teaching some songs from the Republic of Georgia and the Balkans.
Information and website that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, mine's pretty straightforward. DebbieBarrettJones.com, and I'm on Facebook at Debbie Barrett Jones, and then Instagram Debbie Barrett Jones too.
Yes, and then I'm pretty much the same thing. It's ChristineBarrett.com with a Christine with a K, and then there's more information about the show itself on the Leedy Volkus website as well.
Terrific! Thank you so much for coming in and talking
to
us this afternoon. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. And this is ArtSpeak Radio. We're going to follow up with our next guest, Angie Jennings and Ron Anderson. They're here with the Kansas City Society for Contemporary Photography. Finding Peace, Finding Center. It's a members exhibit depicting individual perspectives on finding peace and how we center ourselves in these tumultuous times that we live in. We strive for calm. And what invariably is that centeredness we look for. There you go. That's also at the Leedy Volkus. So welcome, Angie and Ron.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
You bet. So this has a whole list of photographers for this show, right?
Right. There's about 34 members in uh-huh. the show, and I think approximately 66 different pieces.
And this opened last Friday,
yes,
right?
And August 4th, yes.
And then it runs through August 26th.
Uh-huh.
So what are some of the images that we're going to see at the gallery?
A lot of them depict nice, calm landscape. Some of them are more evening, sunset, that type of thing. Also, there is portrait work in there, alternative processes by Ron, as well as Adam Finkelstein and Rebecca Ofish, who also has some alternative process images.
Yeah, I was amazed because Angie and I are on the board, and we were involved in choosing the images that we go in the exhibition, mm-hmm. and we had an amazing amount of work, quality work to choose from, and there were some photographs of people. There are abandoned spaces. There's a lot of water. There's a lot of wildlife. It's just amazing with that many artists involved, the variety of work that is depicted, and the amount of quality work, too.
Yeah, because as I look through the list, you've got Chris Dahlquist, Roy Inman, of course, Angie Jennings, and you mentioned Adam Finkelstein, who's he hasn't been here in a while, but we need to get him back. Phil Peterson, Emily Evans Sloan. Hello, Emily. And so many more people. Yeah. And so this is, again, at the Lee Volkus Art Center at 2012 Baltimore Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. It runs through August 26. You know, I'm sure it was difficult to sort of kind of pull out the images that really fit this, you know, the exhibition. Yeah. But you're right. It's really intended for this tumultuous time that we're going through. Do you think that we'll be seeing a lot more of work like that in the future from people just sort of outpouring what's happening in the world or in their lives or politics and that sort of thing?
It seems to be. Kind of a trend. It seems to be a lot of people are going more towards creating work that is about love, it's about meditation, it's about how to bring yourself back and out of the anxiety and stress of our days. There is another organization who has put together a show about love.
Let me see. Was that Be No. Love Summer?
No. No, this is a completely different show. So it's kind of interesting that people are starting to gravitate more towards that.
I think there's some sort of healing involved that we all maybe collectively need.
Exactly.
Whether it's through photography or, you know, a sort of sacred space, as you heard from our previous guest.
Yes, exactly.
Know. Well, I know for myself as an artist, there's this need to create something, and just the action of going out there and creating something, whether anybody else is going to ever see it or not, is a healing type of a process, and it helps give me peace.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to, you know, the images, I think for almost everybody that's in the show, were personal images that they created for personal reasons, probably similar type of needs is what I'm talking about. But then when you look at it and the public is viewing it, what do they take out of it?
Yeah, I love that. I like to think of artists as oysters because you need some sort of irritant. You need something foreign in that shell that makes you create
Pearl.
Yeah, yes. Because you're trying to protect your body from, you know, this foreign object. And so we make pearls, right?
Right, exactly. We all do.
Well, I want to say Angie Jennings and Ron Anderson with the Kansas Society for Contemporary Photography. The work is at 2012 Baltimore Avenue here in Kansas City, Lee DeVolkus Arts Center. And Leedy-Volkus.com is the website. KCSCP.org is the Kansas City Society for Contemporary Photography. And then this show runs through the 26th, right?
Yes. We will have a closing reception on the 26th.
Okay. Is that on a Friday?
It's on a Saturday. From 3 to 5, yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, do people need to make any sort of reservations or call in? They just kind of come in and show up?
No, they just
and,
come in.
Yeah.
You bet.
Drink wine and eat crackers.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be any wine or cheese.
But we guarantee there'll be a lot of
wait a minute, I'm just
a
projecting.
Lot of photography that
will
be there.
So. Terrific. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you at the Lee DeVolkus Arts Center, 2012 Baltimore Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Terrific. Wow, we got through this segment of Art Speak Radio with so many people to thank. Rochelle Wessoff Fields, Jessica Conley, Christine Barrett, Christine Barrett, Debbie Barrett Jones, Regina Del Carmen, did I get that right? Of course, Angie Jennings and Ron Anderson. Next week, I didn't put the date on her, but next week, next Wednesday, we'll have Elaine McMillan here in the studio, singer, songwriter, writer, Elaine McMillan. will be here. Elaine McMillan, Mark Allen, artist, and Julie Valdivia will be here next week. Stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz Afternoon. And you know what? I'm going to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and keeping us on the dial in your home. Thanks so much. Honey, I'm coming home.